If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Chicago Bulls come into yet another season where not only do they have doubts internally from their fans, but of course the national media and pundits are all doubting their chances to even really go far or make the playoffs. In today's episode, we're going to look at the odds by FanDuel and DraftKings for the Chicago Bulls to make the playoffs and ask this question: what happens if the Bulls do make the playoffs? We're going to talk about all that, plus basketball index impact stats for Josh Giddey, and Nikola Vucevic says some things that triggers the Bulls fans. We're going to get into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go to get into this content for today, y'all. And I want to start off talking about this. So the Bulls, once again, as we are all accustomed to and used to, are getting doubted by the national media, the predictions, all of that. I think the last that we heard is that the Bulls were predicted around like 32-ish something games. Every year that the Bulls, that there's been predictions, the Bulls have been over that. Take that for what you will. Every year for the last 4 years, when the offseason predictions, the win-loss totals come in, the Bulls, for as disappointing as they've been, have been over that every single year, right? And I've already seen it, you know, for those that can't really form their own opinions, and then what they see said by the national media becomes their opinion, right? I've already seen people, you know, basically reverberate that, just saying, oh my God, the Bulls, they're not even going to win 32 games. It becomes a talking point for people, right? And I've had my standpoint. I've made it very clear. This team has gotten better to me. This is a team that won 39 games last year, that at the start of the season was still playing not as heavy isolation ball as what they have in the past, but still was very isolation focused because of the start of Zach LaVine. You know, Nikola Vucevic was on fire to start the season, and for the most part, he was the most consistent Bull. But the Bulls are coming into this season with a even better roster to fit the play style that they want to play. Still missing that rim protecting big for sure, but they still have that player. We'll still have the roster that makes more sense. It's going to spread the ball out, get everybody involved. And then we're still seeing how Montrezl Harrell takes a step. Josh Giddey is now his second year actually being the starting point guard. What does that look like for him, right? But, of course, there are doubts, and that's what we're going to get into next. FanDuel, for example, has the Bulls as a heavy favorite to miss out on the postseason for the fourth straight year. They are negative 700 to finish on the outside looking in, whereas they are plus 410 to have a top eight seed in this upcoming playoffs. DraftKings is even a little bit harder on the Chicago Bulls. You know, they have the Bulls at a plus 450 to clinch the playoff series, where they're a negative 650 to miss out on the playoffs entirely. Now, we already know that the Bulls making the playoffs outright isn't necessarily the most likely outcome, right? But I do think people that are automatically counting out this team in an Eastern Conference that's weaker, but again, I still think they are clearly teams that are above the Chicago Bulls. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Cleveland, better than the Bulls. Miami, maybe better than the Bulls. We'll see, right? They themselves don't necessarily have the best odds, but we'll see what happens with Miami. Miami's a team that I know that they always beat the Bulls in the play-in, but I we'll see what happens there. Orlando's definitely better than the Bulls. The New York Knicks are definitely better than the Bulls. The Boston Celtics teams it's weird because I've seen more positive things said about the Indiana Pacers than Boston Celtics. Me personally, I think the Celtics are still going to be a top six seed, whereas I think the Indiana Pacers, because of no frontline depth at all, right? Even worse than what the Chicago Bulls were at some of their worst times, having frontline depth. None of that's there, but we'll see, right? The Bulls are probably still going to have to go through the play-in. But the question I want to ask is not even just focused on that, is what changes if the Bulls do make it out the play-in right now? Not only from a fan perspective standpoint, like what changes for you, but like what does that do for the Bulls' path? You know, we'll talk more about, we'll talk some to end this episode about the path that the Bulls are on with their last roster before, you know, injuries happen and Nikola Vucevic's recent comments. But I do think it's a fair question to ask here on how does making the playoffs either solidify or change things? Keep in mind, the Bulls are an interesting team to watch this offseason because of the amount of cap space that they have. I think they have the most cap space in the league going into next offseason. They have big decisions to make already on Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu. If you're coming off an actual playoff appearance, let's say you make it out that play-in, what does that do for you? Now, I don't want to stick on just that because I do think if the Bulls were to go through the play-in this year and make it into the playoffs, but then still get eliminated in round one and not even look like a team that's really competing, I don't know how much more you learn from that. And I've said that for years. I'm not going to change that now just because this team is younger. I do think having a younger team may change that perspective a little bit. But I'm still looking at how you compete, what you learn from it. The Bulls have the eighth youngest roster in the league this upcoming year. Eighth youngest. While that's not like the top, the youngest team in the league, but that still means that out of 30 teams in the NBA, they are one of the youngest teams in the league by far. And so, you know, that experience does matter completely. I think how you get there matters as well. Are you getting there because Josh Giddey he is backing up what he said at the end of the season and that his season looks more closely tied to what we saw? I don't think it's going to be one for one, but looks more closely tied to how we saw him finish last year. Does Kobe White take that step and go into that next area that we've talked about from a 20-point-per-game score into the 25-point-per-game score? Does that happen? Does Matis Buzelis go from what he scored last year into the 15-16 range, or maybe even further than that? Does Noah Essengay make a impact later as the season goes on and we're looking at him how we look at Matis now? These are all questions we won't know until we get there, but those, I think, are important questions on how if we get there. Now, for Bulls fans, I do think that there are a lot of Bulls fans that would have to eat crow if this team is able to make it to the playoffs, because you have, you know, how many people have you guys seen? Oh my God, the Bulls have no future. They're going nowhere. All this doesn't matter. We need to get rid of everybody because none of these guys are all that shit, right? All that shit's going to happen. Even the people that constantly like to label that. And it's one of those regurgitated takes because people are too lazy to have their own takes. We're like, oh my God, but Kobe's really a sixth man, even though his numbers coming off the bench aren't good at all. He's never really been that type of scorer coming off the bench. He's not a Jamal Crawford type of scorer. That's just not how he gets down, but nonetheless there too. Whatever, right? Like we can argue data all day long. But one of the things is that I've just, you know, in being in this side of things, the regurgitated takes, and it's not the fact that all Bulls fans share a common take that's backed by data, but you can tell when it's the people that they hear somebody else say it, and they say it, and then when they're pressed on it, they have nothing backing other than, oh, well, that's what somebody said. Okay, well, yeah, but you go, what data do you have to back that up? Those are always, that's what we call easy money. But in debates. By the way, PCL coming back, I will be in the PCL this year. So, you know, that's the thing that you have to ask yourself. And, you know, we'll see what the Bulls do with it, man. Overall, I think that the Bulls have a big chance here, a big chance to do something that people don't expect them to do. And the question then becomes about how does that change not only how aggressive he is in the offseason, right? I think that's the thing that you have to ask yourself. If the Bulls make the playoffs this year, whether it's they make it outright, they make it in through the play-in, they make the playoffs, does that then now open the gates to AK once again being aggressive? Does he then see, all right, bet, the scores now show that they've gotten to this point. Let's be more aggressive about getting the players to help supplement what this roster has or is lacking or whatever way that you view it. And then maybe we see a more aggressive going out there and getting that rim protecting big. Maybe we see more aggressive about going out there and getting versatile defenders to come off your and two-way players to come off your bench. Maybe we see that. But the other side of this also that it could impact the Chicago Bulls on is that if the Bulls do somehow make the playoffs this upcoming year and you have two players that are going to be major parts of your rotation, unrestricted free agents, what does that then do to their market? And that's the part. That's the part in all of this that I think is going to be an interesting take to watch and to see how this season goes. The season's already going to be fun to watch. You know, we're going to be here talking about it every single day. You guys lock in with us and we'll see what's going to happen there. But let's move on from that. One of the biggest conversations and takes that have happened over this offseason, of course, have been built around Josh Giddey and who and what Josh Giddey is, who and what he's worth. I want to be clear in this. This conversation is not to reinvigorate or to trigger anybody to once again go into what Josh Giddey's worth. And the Bulls and Josh Giddey are going to work that out. At this point, it is what it is. I'm talking about on the court impact here. And our friends over at Basketball Index actually tweeted something out that's the Josh Giddey impact, well, the impact matrix. And so they tweeted out Josh Giddey's impact metrics. And so they quote everything with LeBron. They put, and I think it's more of a algorithmic thing. They have their LeBron stats, which when you break them down, aren't really LeBron stats. But I do think putting LeBron as based for impact stat helps the algorithm. But nonetheless, so they have the LeBron war. And I'll put the graphic up here. LeBron war, which is wins over replacement. And the value was came in at a 4.94, which puts him in the 91st percentile in the league that put him at an A, right? Then you have the versus role average. So versus what average players in the point guard role bring. Josh Giddey scored, once again, above average, 79 in the 79th percentile at 0.78, a solid grade of a B+, right? Then you look at the offense of LeBron, the metric, right? Which he rated in the 80th percentile, A- grade. The offense, which is that's what you see is the O LeBron versus role average. So that's, again, the average role of what he does. 70th percentile. Puts him at a B grade. Defensively, this is the thing. And the reason why, and this is why metrics, eye test, and stats, you have to combine all of them. Because while I'll say this, do I agree that Josh Giddey is a strong defender? No, I'm not going to say that. I think he has moments and he has his strengths defensively.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
His in-the-paint defense has grown. I think when he locks in on pick-and-roll defense, he can become better. I think we've seen a little bit of that, too. But for what it's worth, the defensive grade here, the D grade, they have him at the 68th percentile, which is a B. Now, I think I look at that as closer to average. And so what we're saying here is that Josh Giddey is slowly but surely becoming an average defender. And I think we got to see it happen for a full season before we can trust it. I think that a lot of, like, he played really solid defense. I think people overlooked that. The defense that he played towards the end of the season was really, really good. And that, of course, inflates a grade like this. But for what it's worth, in the 68th percentile, which puts him slightly above average on the position. When you look at role average, again, 66th percentile, which, again, right around the average what you have there. So I think that when you look at this is that Josh Giddey impacts a lot of areas. And that's the way that I'm going to take this stat to mean for Josh Giddey, is that he has an ability to impact the floor all the way around, right? The defensive playmaking grade was one that surprised me. C+ there, puts him firmly average in the 57th percentile. Basically what this says, though, is that Josh Giddey doesn't rank in any of these impact, and these are per 100 possessions, in any of these grades, he doesn't rank below average in anything. Now, again, the eye test will tell you something different. And that's the thing that we have in this. Like, is Josh Giddey bad defensively? Yeah. But I think when you're looking at ranking it around the league, there are a lot of bad defensive point guards. I would say there are probably more bad defensive point guards than good defensive point guards, probably in the NBA at this point where we are. And that's kind of where the modern NBA is, the takes and all those type of things. I think that plays a part into this. But and not to say that this is the end-all, be-all, right? These metrics are used to kind of, and every metric has its own flaw. Every advanced metric has its own thing that it weighs differently than another. I've said this once before, is that if you want to get a full picture, you have to look at like five different sites and five different advanced analytics to really kind of get an objective view, right? Because every advanced analytics site has its own way that it weighs things. But for Josh Giddey, for example, is that I think the thing to take away from this is that one of the reasons why Josh Giddey is an intriguing prospect And one of the reasons why he is a player that at 22 years old, about to be 23 years old, he is a player worth investing in. The level of investment, you can talk about that however you want to. But I do think that it is worth investing in because not many people impact the game in the way that he does in so many areas that he impacts it. And what he does best, being a primary ball handler in your offense, he does better than the majority of the NBA. That's it. I've said it a lot of times. For Josh Giddey's career, he's in the 98th percentile as far as open shots generated for his teammates. The reason why I like that is because that's not just assists. That also counts the buckets that you create that maybe the other players don't hit on. And so he's intriguing. I'm not one of the people, like, I think when people are like, well, Josh Giddey's clearly a star. He's not that yet. He has a lot to prove before he can. And consistency is one of the biggest, is one of the most important things in being considered a star. You have to be consistent. And right now, because of situation and other things, he's not been consistent in doing that. Can he? That's the question that the Bulls are asking here. That's the question that Bulls fans have. And that's the question that, he can only answer on the basketball court. And if he can do that and people still doubt, question, or whatever, then that becomes on them. But the consistency has to be there. And by consistency, I don't mean that he's not going to have a bad stretch. Every player has bad stretches. I don't mean that he's not going to have games where he gets completely blown up. No, that's going to happen sometimes. But I mean that not more times than not, this is exactly what you bring. Whether it's the 16, 8, and 8, whether it's the 18, 9, and 10, whatever it is, you have to have a season where we can then pick off on it and then say it's consistent. And that's just what the nature of the game is. And so, you know, that's not to knock Josh Giddey. That's just to talk about the reality of basketball. Look at, like, if you're looking objectively, how many players in the league had hot 2, maybe even sometimes 3-year stretches and then fall off, right? And where those are help determine what the contract is, the value, all those type of things. But again, this isn't just about, I don't even want to make this. If you notice, I said this is probably the first time since I actually started my rant, I even mentioned contract. Like, because it's not just about that. This is about basketball. And on the court, between his rebounding, his playmaking, his growth as a scorer, right? And that's another thing that Josh Giddey really did step up into last year. As you've noticed that Josh Giddey, and this is one of the reasons why I say role definitely matters. Because for a player like Josh Giddey, for example, one of the reasons why he's grown so much recently is that he's been allowed to do things that come more naturally to him. And by that, I mean this, is his drives per game. Much like we talked about Kobe, when you look at Josh Giddey over the last couple of years, one of the things that has consistently grown for him is the fact that he is able to get to the rim more. He's growing as his ability to get to the rim because he's growing as the ability to drive more. He's creating more separation, and he's learning to do that. That's why when people say things and throw out the blanket things like, oh, my God, but he wasn't able to win. He wasn't able to do this with OKC, so why is he going to be able to do it anywhere else? And part of that is because of the role that he had there. He didn't have the ball in his hands as much. He was forced to be more of a jump shooter, which is not the strongest part of his game. And so now with him being the actual point guard here with the Chicago Bulls, him having more opportunity to create drives, to get into that area, that's the shift in Josh Giddey's play style that has helped him evolve as a player and thus as a scorer. And so when you look at that part of it, when it comes down to it, he's becoming one of the most efficient players to create and score off drives in the NBA. His drives per game actually went down in OKC from 12 his first year down to 7.1 his last year in OKC. That's it, right? And so now you look at a player that now, as a player that has learned and understood how he can get that, his drives are now 8%. They've gone up 8% since his highest at OKC. And so that's how he's attacking the rim has become Josh Giddey's bread and butter, not only in the way that he scores, but how he can create, his size, the way he can see over defenses, the way that he does have more size over opposing point guards. So if Josh Giddey does drive and get to the rim, you then are collapsing the defense. They have to switch somebody else on you. And that's the thing that we've seen when it comes down to that. That's how Josh Giddey is growing. And as he's doing that now, you know, 16 drives per game last year, 8.5 points off that, opposed to 3.6 that came before the All-Star break, And then his field goal percentage on drives went up from 47% to 51%. That's what Josh Giddey is learning to create when he's doing it off drives. And we're seeing that happen for Josh Giddey. And now we get to see if he's going to be able to continually grow in that. And I hope that he can. Now, with that said, one of the things that that was triggering Bulls Nation yesterday was Nikola Vucevic and a quote from him in regards to Arturis Karnasova, where he said this. When he first got here, I thought he made some very good moves, signing Lonzo, Caruso, Vucevic, and DeMar. I thought it was a very good team. It just did not work out. After that, sometimes it's hard to figure out what to do next. We had a lot of injuries and other challenges, but overall, I think he's done a good job. Now that they've decided to go with slightly younger players, and they did a good job in the draft as well, I think it's understandable that fans want results right away, but sometimes you need to be patient. Overall, I think he has done some pretty good things. And, you know, when you live in a world where it's either all good or all bad, that's how people know how to talk about things now. It's either bad or it's good, and not in the gray area. And I think the gray area for the Chicago Bulls is, I think people forget that first version of the team that they built, a 46-win team. And that was a 46-win team that Lonzo Ball went down after the trade deadline. Zach LaVine was hobbled after that game, that same game against Golden State. Alex Caruso missed some major time. And not to say that that team was a championship contender. I know a lot of people hang on. They were number one team in the East. They were already starting to drop down. But I think when you look at a team that possibly could have finished with 50 wins, even if the Bulls had the exact same offseason they had after that and adding Andre Drummond, right, which was a big part, then they eventually go on to add Torrey Craig. You do that when Lonzo's healthy, you're probably looking at a 50-55 win team, right? Now, woulda, coulda, shoulda in that. Vooch is right in that things changed and they adapted horribly to what happened in that and pivoting from Lonzo going down. And we really only just saw last offseason them actually make a strong pivot away from that. And that was with the acquisition of Josh Giddey and then Montrezl Harrell and all those things that happened then. That's really the first time that we saw a true pivot from that initial team. Now, so I think the initial vision was better than what people have now given it credit for, but it was built on a team that if that was what you were going for and you had that team that was healthy and you were focused on fixing the holes in that team, what could have been? That's always going to be one of the biggest questions here. But I think it's also fair to question that if that front office could not build off that, who's to say that their vision is going to carry over now, right? And that's the question that you have there. And we'll see what happens with that one. We'll see what happens in that one. So overall, I know that those comments triggered Bulls fans, and I think any praise lobby toward this front office is going to trigger fans in that case. But I do think that I understand the point he was trying to make. I don't know if he worded it the best, but I do understand the point he was trying to make. And the most important thing now is let's see what they do now with this team, with this younger core. And we'll see what the future holds. But that's my time for today. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.